And now we can bring in Miles Edlin, who is very excited to talk about markets, his morning brief newsletter. Miles, I'll leave the floor to you.
We were chatting this morning as a group. Obviously, a lot transpired, in the area between when we did the program last night and when we met this morning. So we went back, and I was sort of remembering that we had written in the morning brief about, you know, the state of the economy, but really another way to slice the primary story, Sazi, that we've been discussing for months now, which is that demand within this recovery remains robust. Yesterday, we got manufacturing data from the ISM. We also got it from IHS Market, as we tend to at the beginning of every month on the same day. And those two reports continue to show that on the goods side of the economy, the production side of the economy, you have businesses that have full order books. They cannot clear their order books. They have more business coming in the door than they can manage to get out on the other side. Certainly, you are dealing with higher prices. You've got commodity pressures. We talk about shipping rates. That's certainly a problem there. Labor continues to be all over these reports as a constraint. But what is not a constraint is people who want to buy goods and services. They want to consume what these manufacturers are putting out. And that continues to really inform the entire shape of this recovery and contrasts it once again with what we saw after the financial crisis. After the financial crisis, as we've said many times, that was a lack of demand, a glut of supply, too many homes, too many workers. And what you did not have was, you know, dynamism. You did not have any credit creation. You did not have businesses opening. You didn't have existing businesses with enough business to keep all their staff on hand, to keep their prior year orders intact. This time around, you can't get enough staff. You have too many orders. There's too much demand for whatever it is you are selling, whether it is ice cream, a car, legal services, selling a home. There's just not enough of anything. And that continues to be the primary story. And I think the way that, and I've been leading on this phrase, I think a lot, over the last few weeks, but it's the old until further notice, that remains the driving force behind this recovery. And I know we can talk a little bit about expectations for tomorrow's jobs report. Emily notes that the jobs, labor market continues to repair itself. Those headline expectations for tomorrow, a little bit lighter than what we saw in the month of July. But getting into the nitty gritty of an individual jobs report, now we're talking about slicing and dicing what if the Fed begins tapering in November or December or January. We've certainly talked that story to death. The Fed's going to begin tapering within the next couple of months, and they'll wrap that up sometime next year. And then we can get here in 2023 and start talking about rate hikes. But, the fundamental backdrop against which the Fed is making this policy shift is one in which the economy continues to recover at a healthy clip, at an above prior trend clip, right? That's another important facet of this as well. And I think it is worth restating time and again, especially in the context of some softness, very, a modest level, but some softness in the economy around the spread of the Delta variant earlier this month. And it's cooled off a little bit in the last couple of weeks, but there was some pressure there. But it didn't derail, it didn't change the fundamental story that has driven this recovery, and I think is going to drive this recovery for some years.
Yeah, Miles, let's stay on the jobs report in the Fed, since you are our OG Fed correspondent here at Yahoo Finance. Good note from Wells Fargo, I just got now passed to me. They're saying, quote, "We think the FOMC will not announce tapering at its meeting on September 22nd, almost regardless of the strength of the August employment data." To me, Miles, that could be a pretty good setup for stocks.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Fed has for months now been explicitly, well, I shouldn't say the Fed. Some Fed officials, namely Jay Powell and some other senior ones, like if you look at the comments of, let's say, Jim Bullard, I don't think he's much worried about this. But, the biggest cheeses, biggest of cheeses at the Fed have been trying to avoid a taper tantrum for months. Go back to 2013 when Ben Bernanke said the Fed would begin, at some point tapering its asset purchases. It shocked the markets. We saw a little bit of a dip in the stock market. Really, the pain was felt in the bond market. And, from the end of 13, let's call it like mid 14 until Trump was elected in, later half of 16, market went nowhere. That was a very, very challenging time for investors as the Fed went through that transitional phase. And I think what the Powell Fed has been very conscious of, and certainly Powell himself has been conscious of, is not upsetting that equilibrium in markets such that, yes, there is some risk around the exact day, right? Do you sell the news when the Fed comes out and announces that it will taper? But I think to Wells's point, or at least the way that I would interpret the point that Wells Fargo's team is making on that announcement, a strong jobs report tomorrow morning, okay, it could justify that announcement in September, but there would still be, I think, given the commentary out of Jackson Hole last week, there would still be some element of surprise if that announcement were to come, you know, in only 3 weeks. And so that makes that early November meeting much more likely, because then you might have, you know, by the November meeting, you might have two additional jobs reports that make the balance of evidence so overwhelming that, you know, you'd have to be hiding under a rock to not know the announcement was coming. I think the Fed would prefer that backdrop rather than any kind of debate ex post that, you know, did they go too early? Were they too conservative? Blah, blah, blah. I think the Fed wants it to be so obvious that they are about to do what they're going to do, such that there is no market, you know, meaningful market reaction, let's say.
And really, the setup, and you've been talking a lot about this, Miles, in the Morning Brief newsletter. The setup is for, I would say, a disappointing jobs report versus consensus, which is still a 750K increase on the headline tomorrow. All sorts of weak data, but Wells Fargo also pointing to the flip side of that, noting we expect another disjointed market response to the non-farm payrolls, potentially exacerbated by funky seasonal adjustments. And apparently those adjustments, Miles, might mean we see a stronger than expected jobs report, a potential jump in yields, and it'll be fascinating to see how the market responds to any potential jump in yields.
You know, we mentioned this yesterday, the error from the ADP data. So yesterday we got 375,000 jobs, private payrolls added in August. The error between that and the official jobs data has been about 330,000 jobs over the last couple of months. In other words, the entire magnitude of yesterday's ADP report is the error band against which, you know, you would have that non-farm payroll data. So I think to that point, we should be open-minded that kind of anything relative to those expectations could happen. But you want to talk about disjointed reactions. I mean, do you recall at the beginning of August when we had the July ADP data? Again, a report that does not move markets. It moved markets in kind of a decent way on that. I think it was on that Wednesday morning. And so we've already had a disjointed kind of 3 or 4 weeks reacting to some of that data. It'll be interesting to see which way it breaks tomorrow. But I think, you know, to that prior conversation we're having off of that Wells Fargo note, the Fed has wanted to take as much of that kind of risk out as it is, you know, feasible for the Fed to do, and sort of say that whether tomorrow's jobs report comes in better, weaker, you know, right down the middle, you're not going to see a major policy change. They would like, I think if you read through what Powell is saying, he would like one more such that there can be no doubt that it is now time, you know, for the Fed to go ahead and start that taper.
Well said. Yeah, I remember. I think I was grilling up myself a Beyond Meat burger when that report came out earlier this month, Miles. Earlier in August.
No, I mean, Sajid, we were on set together, so I don't think you were grilling a burger.
Well, you know, I could have had one to the side, but you know, nonetheless.
I mean, I you could have, but I was with you, and I know you didn't.
So. Really? Man, I don't know. Yeah. Time moves. Yep. All right, coming up.